Here's our reading for today. We're reading James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. My brothers, if any of you strays from the truth and someone turns him back, he should know that whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his life from death and cover a multitude of sins.
Yeah, that's how the book of James concludes. We've been studying through the book of James throughout the summer. We've gotten to the end of the story, according to James, the letter to encourage us in our faith and to find our place in God's plans for us. Before I look at that final passage, those couple of sentences as he wraps up kind of brings in a new theme, but one that he wants to leave us all with. I want to start with these words that come from Luke 15. It said that now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. What a great way to open a chapter. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. That's how Luke 15 opens up. And what happens in the rest of Luke 15 is familiar to a lot of us. But we often forget what the purpose was or where the context comes. I mean, Jesus is saying these parables. It says this parable, but he's going to actually give three parables here. And he chooses to share these three parables. And the point of each one is going to be the same point, that God's primary goal, okay, if you want to know the heartbeat of God, here it is. God's primary goal is to find the lost, to restore the fallen, to reconnect with the wandering. This becomes the whole main point of what Jesus is trying to remind them of as a way of getting them to knock off their criticizing him for eating with the wrong crowd. Luke 15, if you've heard Luke 15 or read Luke 15, I think you probably all are familiar with at least parts of it. It tells in that chapter, Jesus comes and follows up with three parables in a row, often called the chapter of the lost things, because he talks about the first one is going to be in verses 3 through 7 is the parable of the lost sheep. You know how that one goes. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and you lose one of them. Doesn't that person leave the 99 and go out and search for that one? And when he finds it, he rejoices and picks it up and carries it back, and there is great rejoicing for the one who was lost but now is found. Second, Jesus followed that one up with a second parable, and this one's called the parable of the lost coin. Again, very similar, but it also gives us a little different perspective. Suppose a woman has 10 coins, and this was in Jesus' culture. In Jesus' day, there would be a dowry for a woman who had not yet been married, and so maybe her dowry was these 10 coins. And so all of her hopes and all of her dreams depend on that dowry being complete, and one day she discovers that one of the coins is missing. What is she going to do? She's going to go searching for that one coin, right? And it says again, similarly, once she does find it, there is great rejoicing. She leaves no stone unturned, but when she finds it, it is great because now there is such a reunion that is so profound. And then he tells a third parable. And this one is about the lost son. Sometimes we refer to it as the prodigal son. About a man who has two sons, and one of them takes his share of the estate and wanders off to faraway land. There is a moving, an intentional moving away by this son, away from the father and the father's care. Yes, taking all the gifts that the father gave him and turning his back on the father in order to go away. But as you know how the story goes, the day comes when he turns. And as he returns, father sees him, races to him, embraces him, and restores him to his role as son. These three parables Jesus tells reveal to us something about the heart of God. Now, in the story of the son, we see that he left intentionally, didn't he? We don't know why he did, but he left intentionally. In the story of the coin, we recognize that the coin didn't get up and walk away, but something happened to it, something beyond its control happened to it that got it in a place of being lost, separated. And in the story of the sheep, we see a sheep, as sheep do, who just kind of wandered little bit by little bit by little bit by little bit until the point where it couldn't discern the way back. In all three cases, lost is still lost. But the variety of reasons is also just varied. We recognize that this is part of the heart of God for all of those different reasons. Regardless of the reason, when there comes to one who has wandered, who is lost, God's heart is to restore. So it should come as really no surprise to us, shouldn't it? If that is how Jesus described the heart of God to us, to restore, to find the wanderer and restore the wanderer, it should be no surprise to us that when James concludes his letter, that's been all about how do we get back and stay on track, that he leaves us with this call to action. Stop. Look around. There are wanderers around you. And how great it is if you join God in his mission to restore them. This is really, for us, probably our first mission field when we think about it, that we live in the midst of a community that is filled with wanderers, don't we? I mean, it's easy. We have to recognize that spiritual drift is a real thing, and it happens to all of us. Sometimes we're in a really close place where we feel just that intimacy with God is just so beautiful and so perfect and so pure, and sometimes we feel far away. We don't know how we got there. Maybe it was a circumstance that caused us to get disillusioned. Maybe there was something that happened that kind of hurt our feelings. Maybe we just wound up in a place where we're not feeling it right now. Take that a step or two or three beyond, and we'll find out where a lot of our neighbors reside. People who once knew the closeness of a relationship with God, maybe at one time knew the connection of being part of a church family, but no longer do they darken the doors of a church. No longer do they have an active walk with Jesus. It was there, but they've wandered away. So what do? That's where James points us here. So again, back into those two verses that were already read for us. In 19 and 20, this is the last two verses of the letter of James. Brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover a multitude of sins. There is something really profound in this, that saying that, hey, you are going to be surrounded by people who find themselves in some sort of state of disillusionment. What are you going to do about it? God's heart is for them. God's agent to reach them may be you. Now, I'm not going to say that a person cannot have faith by themselves. But I am going to say that in God's heart, he doesn't want us simply to have faith. God wants us to begin to thrive in that faith. And we cannot thrive in that faith alone. There is a part of us because of who we are. Yes, God's heart for us is that we would walk in relationship with him. But we've also been created for community. And part of this being community is vital for us. And James has been saying that in various ways all along. But how vital it is for us to recognize that we were created for community. And that neighbor who used to go to church with you or used to go to church somewhere else For their thriving need to be part of a community as well. Wandering is so easy. Again, we all drift, and we are all surrounded by folks who drift. There are many reasons why. I could go around, we could probably brainstorm a lot of reasons why people who once were connected, once were tight with Jesus, maybe once were a part of a family of the church, but something has happened. Whether it be hurts in life, I mean, that's one of the big ones, isn't it? You all probably know people who've gone through something and it just hit them so hard that instead of drawing them closer to God, it caused them to become disillusioned with who God is. Maybe you know some folks who wandered away because they found themselves in a toxic environment. Maybe they were surrounded by bad company or they were indulging bad habits. And because they had continued to just be in that place where that bad environment was, that caused them to continue to drift to a point where they now feel no sense of connection back to their Heavenly Father who awaits them. Now, there's lots of reasons. There's a conflict with other people. I know folks who don't go to church. You know why? Because the church is full of people. And I'm glad for that. Not that they're not here. But I'm glad the church is full of people. But sometimes people, we're our own worst enemy, aren't we? Someone says something, someone does something, someone doesn't do something, and all of a sudden we're offended. Don't want to be a part of that thing anymore because, you know, I didn't like how they did that. And the next thing you know, they go somewhere else. Or they never get to that somewhere else. They just go away. Maybe it's some event in their life that caused them such trauma or such embarrassment that they don't want to come back and be around other people who know them, who will care for them, because it's easier to walk away than it is to walk through and struggle with that healing process. I know how many folks I've known who have walked through trouble in their marriage relationship to the point of divorcing, and then all of a sudden they've been part of the church, and sooner after that, neither of them is connected to a church anywhere else. Why? They just don't want to deal with it. And they think that somehow by not being in church, that's going to be better. There's all kinds of reasons why people walk away, drift away, fade away. All kinds of reasons why. But all of those reasons are met by the same response. The wandering and the disillusioned are our first mission field. That's what we're called to do. That's what James ends us with here. The church, we need to stop. We need to look around. We get busy. We get wrapped up in our time, right? Too much to do. Too much to go and get. We need to stop. We need to recognize. Maybe there's someone that we used to see around here. They're not here anymore. Maybe there's a neighbor in your neighborhood who you know used to go to church, doesn't go to church anymore. Maybe there's a sense of someone in one of your coworkers who's told you stories because they know you're a believer and they hear you talking about the church, and so they say, I used to do that, but they leave it there. That's our mission field. James says, it is so profound, it is such an honor for us to join God in this ministry. Let's take up on it. So how do we do it? How do we do it? We need to care enough about those. That's why he hits all these reasons, saying what a blessing it is, how this covers a multitude of sins if we're able to do this, because we need to care a little bit more about those who are around us. We get caught up in our own stuff, and we fail to see those around us who are dying for our attention. And maybe our invitation to be restored. We need to care enough to be able to listen. And this is hard for a lot of us, okay? We're not really good listeners. When someone tells you they used to go to church, maybe we ask a question that allows them to tell us why they don't go now. That can be a little scary. It can be a little off-putting. We're afraid we don't have the right words. Maybe we're going to screw up. But this might be just what they need to hear. Someone who cares enough about them, who wants to know their story. We need to care enough to invite them. You know, I think we put these little little papers in your bulletin today, not so you could drop them on the floor, although I've seen many of them dropped on the floor. We put them there for you to have a tangible way of saying, when you go to your neighbor this week, and you know they don't, because you see, you leave and you know they don't leave their driveway on Sunday morning, maybe there's a chance to, hey, would you join me at church? You don't have to come into a church building. You don't have to worry about the roof falling down on you. We're going to be in the park, and I can guarantee the sky will not fall. But maybe we need to care enough to notice those people in our circles for whom they would come back if someone would invite them. But they don't get invited. Maybe people know they used to go to church, but no one asks them why. Maybe they don't have a church family, but nobody invites them to theirs. And so they sit in faraway land, wandered off, don't know how to get back. 3, maybe we need to care enough to pray for them. And again, all of us know folks who are not connected. Maybe they were, but they're not now. Pray for them. And when we talk about praying, I want to talk about another. This is a little bit angle. This gets off a little bit from James, but I want to just bring this up as well. Because many of us, I'm not going to say all of us, but many of us, I'm not talking about our neighbor or coworker or those, many of us have loved ones who were raised in the church family, came to know Jesus, and have wandered away. Maybe they live close by, maybe they live far away. But those people in our families or our close, care-for friend group who have found themselves wandering, sometimes we call them our prodigals because they have wandered to a faraway place. If you have folks in your life for whom you know they've wandered, and it breaks your heart to know they've wandered, you really want them back, but you don't know what to do about it. You know, I'm going to suggest a couple things. There's going to be some books. I'm going to throw them up here on the screen. These are a couple of great books. I could have you talk to my wife, Lori. She has a number of more. Maybe we'll have a whole section in our library, okay, of praying for our prodigals. These two here are especially good that I can vouch for them. Engaging Today's Prodigal by Carol Barnier and Prayers for Prodigals by James Banks. Great books, ways of helping us deal with that sense of what do we do? How do we begin to engage? How do we begin to pray for those who we love and we care, we really want them there, but they're not? We can do a lot of things that push them farther away, but how do we begin to be a part of the drawing them back? Great books for these. And I would say this also, if you do have prodigals in your life that you care for, you pray for, I want to suggest we're going to talk about 5 things in our prayers to include, and we're going to wrap it up with that, because I really think this is important for a lot of us. And there's going to be some here who are going to say, these are the things I really need to be in prayer for, and I need to pray better and pray more for them. First thing I want to say is this, when we begin to pray for those who have walked away, those who are in a faraway place, it's good for us to begin our prayer right here where recognizing, thanking God that He knows even better than we do, and He loves even more than we do these persons who are now far from Him. We need to pray and give God thanks that things beyond our awareness, certainly things beyond our control, He is aware of and He is in control of. And so our prayer begins here, from a position of being thankful that we can come and lift these loved ones to Him. Second, we can do this. We can begin to praise our Savior, okay, because He saved us, right? We can praise Jesus that He is about seeking and saving the lost. And so these ones who have been lost, it is His business. He wants to try to reach them. And so we can start there. We can move from thanks right into praise, just giving Him thanks for His goodness, that His heart is to restore them. 3, I would suggest pray for ourselves, because sometimes we can get our feelings hurt, can't we? Or we can get angry at them for the choices they have made. Or we can become embittered toward them, especially if what they do seems to want to throw back into our face what we have been all about up to this point. And it can cause us to become, feel like we're being rejected. We can cause us to feel like somehow we are now being embittered. So pray for our heart well, that we can maintain a forgiving spirit toward them even as we lift them to the Lord. 4, we would ask that God would begin to arrange circumstances. This is beautiful because we can't arrange circumstances. Folks, we are not in control. But God is. And so ask that God would arrange circumstances or bring other believers into their life. If that prodigal is no longer listening to you, then pray that God is going to put people in their life whom they will listen to, whom they will hear, whom they will see the grace of God being embodied and begin to recognize the fingerprints of God that they are so desperately trying to run away from. And 5, finally, of course, and this is the one, but this is where we always jump first, but I want to say this is good that we get there, but we need to pray. Just like it says in Luke 15, that they will return and that they will believe. And in that believing, they will be restored. There is something very profound about that prayer if we continue to pray for those whom have wandered away. And James tells us in this part here that there is something so profound about what it means for us as the believing community to be about the business of reaching to those who have wandered. This becomes, again, mission field number 1 for all of us. And I just want to encourage you, God, that we, as we come today, as we wrap up here today, as we move out of the book of James and next week in the park and all those other weeks that follow, that we begin to really take seriously this invitation to reach and to be part of God's team to restore those who have wandered away. Father, I thank you for just for your heart for us. We thank you for your love for us, but also your love for those who have wandered, those who live next door, or maybe those who live on the other side of the world, those whom we barely know, but we rub shoulders with, or those for whom our heart breaks because of the choices they've made, the lives that they've pursued, the direction that they have taken. Father, we thank you that your love is even greater. So watch over us. Continue to protect our heart. Continue to embolden our heart. Enable us to recognize the opportunities that you open for us, that we would step in. Father, we pray that you would be doing a work of restoring the wanderers all around us. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.